By now, it seems most of us know a good deal about Alzheimer's disease and other forms of dementia, but just in case, November is National Alzheimer's Disease Awareness Month and National Caregiver Month, and so organizations that deal with patients and caregivers are stepping up to help in the awareness process. Those include the ARC of Jackson County, for which Trish Welsh is the executive director and my guest in the studio today. Trish, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us here, Artis Frazier, who is the Lifespan Respite Ashland Social Club site coordinator. And I congratulated her on a long title.
I'm just the one in charge.
Okay. We'll leave it at that. Trish Welsh, tell us about the ARC of Jackson County and what it does for everybody, but specifically about for Alzheimer's and dementia patients.
Well, actually, the ARC, we are for people with intellectual and developmental disabilities. However, through our Lifespan Respite Program, we do serve all ages and all special populations, including people who experience Alzheimer's and dementia-related illnesses. The ARC actually started back in the late 40s. There was a group of parents trying to educate their children, children who had Down syndrome, autism, cerebral palsy, and those type of mental illnesses, and they didn't have school. And so the parents joined together and they started meeting in their family homes and eventually in a church basement and then formed something called the School of Hope. So that's where we started. And then over the years, we've progressed into adding different services to help various people in the Valley.
Is the major growth in your services for people with Alzheimer's and other types of dementia?
In the last few years, yes, that has really expanded as far as our Lifespan Respite program is concerned. Absolutely. Our Lifespan Respite program not only has site coordinator places where...
Well, we actually have respite services that we provide for people who are caring for someone with dementia or Alzheimer's or any memory loss whatsoever. Because caring for someone with something like that is very taxing. If you're caring for someone 24/7 with Alzheimer's, you don't get a break. And so we provide services so that the caregiver can bring the person to us, leave them for 4 hours, and we have two programs, one in Medford at Wynwood, that's on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and Holly Churchill is the site coordinator for that program. And then we have one in Ashland, which is at Emeritus Mountain View, which is just across from where you turn to go to the hospital, and that's on Wednesdays from noon to 4. So persons who are caring for someone with any kind of memory loss or Alzheimer's can bring them to us for 4 hours, and we offer lunch, and we entertain them, and we play cards and games and dominoes. I do crafts with my people.
And
sometimes
singing. Can't forget
sometimes
that.
Tai Chi. The big part is singing. many people with Alzheimer's lose their ability to talk if they've had a stroke also. I have a gentleman that comes who actually doesn't have Alzheimer's, but he was a stroke victim, and he was not able to use his arm and through the or talk very well. And through the program, because we sing, I have a piano player that comes, volunteers, it's all volunteers, comes and plays all the old songs. And we sing, and they just light up. I mean, these people who can't even talk for some reason can remember how to sing. And this guy in particular who couldn't use his left hand, at the end of the program, we exercised a polka music with these big balloons. And one day he could hit the balloon. And he just broke down in tears. He said, I use my left hand. And it's just things like that that just make the program so rewarding for people to come to.
Do you find that people will use Lifespan Respite at all 3 sessions a week? I mean, do some people do that?
They do. A lot of the people who are in Medford sort of tend to stay in Medford because it's convenient for them. I mean, you want to get as much of out of that 4 hours as you can. I mean, 4 hours seems like a long time, but really, if that's the only time you get, that's not very long. And so they don't have to stay for the whole 4 hours. Some people will just come and stay for a few hours and then go on their way. But this $6.50 an hour is all that we ask. And if they want to have lunch, it's another $5 an hour. And as we all know, private caregiving in the Valley is nearly about $18 an hour and up. So for people that are living, within their means and can't afford that, it's a much needed break where they can take their person and know that they're in a safe place and people are going to take care of them and interchange with them, you know. I find that the caregivers come back and they look completely different. I had a woman recently was bringing her husband who was early diagnosis, and she was very at her loose ends. I mean, you could tell she was just very rattled and really tired and just was so worried about what she was going to do with them. And just recently, she hadn't come for 2 weeks. So I called her house to see what was going on. And her daughter answered the phone and said, well, my mom fell. So the mother, the caregiver, fell in the bathroom, broke her hip, broke her shoulder, was on the floor for 2.5 days because her husband, who has Alzheimer's, didn't know what was wrong with her. She asked him for water. She asked him for help. And he was just wandering around the house. He had no idea how to help her. And finally, her son was calling. About the third or fourth time he called, he realized something's probably wrong. And he sent 911. And sure enough, I mean, she was close to dying. She was dehydrated. Took her to the hospital, replaced her hip, replaced her shoulder. She's now in Linda Vista recovering, and she had to put her husband in a memory care.
How often is it that the person who's caring for the person with Alzheimer's is going to be the spouse, who obviously is of advanced age themselves?
It's the spouse or one of the children, generally speaking. I've had a lot of daughters, sons, you know. There was a guy that came for a long time. He was just a real character. Actually carried the Flying Cross, one of the highest military honors there was. And his daughter brought her father. And he passed away recently. And so I call, you know, see how she was doing. And she said, oh, I just still remember that program. I don't know what I would have done if I hadn't had a place to take my father. And in answer to your question, she actually took her father to the Medford program and to our program. So that she could get a break.
Both made for
yeah, because she and her brother were caring for her father exclusively. So,
Artis Fraser and Trish Welsh are our guests on the Jefferson Exchange, involved with the ARC of Jackson County and Lifespan Respite Program. You can join us here in the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about Alzheimer's Awareness Month and services in your area. Give us a call if you have some details you'd like to relay to us. 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. I'm having a hard time believing you could actually cover the cost of the program at $6.50 an hour.
Volunteers.
Yeah, well, you know, all of our volunteers are not paid. It's a problem getting volunteers. So anybody out there that would like to help out, there seems to be sort of a stigma, unfortunately. A lot of people will say, oh, well, you know, my mother had Alzheimer's or my aunt had Alzheimer's, and they've kind of been there. And they're afraid of it, you know. But the fact of the matter is, most people with Alzheimer's and dementia are fascinating, which is why I actually even got into what I'm doing. I care for people on a private level as well. But they live in the moment. I mean, these people, you want to talk about Zen. They are Zen. They say exactly what they think, exactly in the moment. And yes, they have a debilitating disease that is progressing, but they're fun. I mean, some of these people are just a kick in the pants because they just come right out and say whatever they want, and they sing, and they interact, and they laugh at themselves. And a lot of people could just really take a lesson, in my opinion, because I just find them fascinating and wonderful to be with.
I'm curious about this stigma, though. So people just don't like to be around Alzheimer's. I mean, yeah. Is it because they're scared about what might happen in their own lives?
Yes.
Are they just scared about what might happen to people they love? Or
well, they've seen people in their lives because it is a disease that progresses. You know, your brain is shrinking. And so slowly you are able to do less and less for yourself. You forget to eat. You forget to bathe. You don't know how to dress yourself. You don't know where you are. And so it's scary to watch for some people, especially the family members. I mean, for me, it's easier because I'm outside of the situation, the immediate situation. But when you're watching your mom or you're watching your dad or your husband, it's like this woman I told you that fell. I mean, I went to see her in the hospital and she was so mad at her husband. And she said, I'm so mad at him. And I said, well, honey, you know, he can't help himself. They're like children. They're like little children. A little two-year-old goes and you know, doesn't know what to do if you fall down. I mean, you're not going to be mad at them. But she couldn't help being angry, A, at herself for not having maybe placed him somewhere sooner so that this wouldn't have happened, and B, because he couldn't help her. So, you know, there's some anger involved there, too. And then there's the siblings who sort of get stuck with mom. You know, maybe there's three siblings, but the one daughter gets picked to be the one that always has to do everything. And then the other ones say, well, why are you doing that way? Why shouldn't you do it this way? You know, and so they'll say, oh, I've seen that before, and I don't want to participate in that, you know, because it's so awful.
What is the total scope of people who are served by Lifespan Respite in Jackson County then?
Well, I would say between the various phone calls that we receive and referrals, people that are registered with Lifespan, it's well over 600 people, because Lifespan, again, serves all ages and all special populations. And in addition to our two social clubs, we actually have a Lifespan Respite coordinator that coordinates people with in-home respite. So not everybody is appropriate for the clubs, and we also do serve children through this program, and so they need respite providers to come into the family home to provide the care so the parents can have a break.
And the concept of respite is just what you said then, giving somebody a break from the grind of caregiving.
From the ongoing demands, yep.
And any figures on how many people are involved in caregiving for, I mean, you must have some idea of the total network, the total universe in Jackson County of people providing care for people with,
goodness.
And it's not just with dementia, it's other intellectual disabilities.
Well, yeah, you know, 1% of our, approximately 1% of our population experiences intellectual or developmental disability. But I'm not sure what the percentages of people who experience Alzheimer's and dementia-related illnesses, that I would think would even be higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking several thousand people in the Valley who are caring for loved ones. And also, it's not even just those populations. It's people with mental illness, or you know, parents who have children with mental illness. We serve a lot of parents who are at their wit's end, who need a break to enable them to continue to care for their loved one in the family home.
Yeah, so to even add to my title, yeah. I also am a respite caregiver. Mm-hmm. So I take care of a little boy with Down syndrome who's also autistic, who's living with his grandparents because he can't live with his own parents, and they really need a break. So I give them a break by taking this little boy, and I've been taking care of him for, gosh, over a year, I think. And then there was a case of a woman who got ill, very ill, and has an autistic little boy and needed to get well. And so she called the respite services, and they hired me, and I've been taking care of her little boy since May. And she has since recovered from a very serious illness and has got a job and is back in the workforce because I was able to come out and stay and help her little boy 4 days a week so that she could get well, because she was not able to go to a facility and get well because of this autistic child, and then also a sister with mental illness. So Lifespan Respite really saved the day for them by us being able to provide service to them as well as money, you know, so that they could get well.
This is the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about respite care with the folks from Lifespan Respite and the ARC of Jackson County, Artis Fraser and Trish Welsh here in the studio with me. November is National Alzheimer's Disease Awareness Month and National Caregiver Month as well, so appropriate timing for this.
Yeah.
Join us on the Exchange with your comments and questions, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Diana in Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you. First, I want to just say that I was delighted to hear one of your visitors say that it was very much zen, because, and that you're right there in the moment, because I have a friend in Massachusetts who's a friend for 30 years, and his wife has Alzheimer's, and he commented when I talked to him last, you know how I've always been trying to learn how to be present every moment. Well, Janet's helping me now. I'm present every moment. And he really looked at things in a very positive way, which I thought was wonderful. Secondly, I have a question for you to clarify, because I talked to someone recently who said all dementia is Alzheimer's, and I said, no, I don't think so. So could you please clarify that for everybody who's a little confused about the definitions?
Okay, excellent point. Thanks for that, Diana.
Well, not being a doctor, I'm going to answer this from a novice point of view, but Alzheimer's and dementia are not the same thing. They are two distinct, different illnesses. So that's about as good of an answer as I can give you without going into more detail.
And of course, there are major fights within medicine itself just about the causes of Alzheimer's disease,
yes,
the beta-amyloid proteins and all the other stuff, the Baptists, the beta-amyloid protein people, all that sort of thing. But the fact is, you're still going to care for people with dementia in roughly the same way?
Yes.
Artis Fraser?
Yes, I believe so. You know, I mean, Alzheimer's seems to be just a real progression where, I mean, maybe they actually have a diagnosis, whereas dementia is the losing of the memory, you know. But basically, the people have the same situation where they need someone to prompt them and cue them and redirect them when they get confused. And, you know, yeah, I mean, they can come to my program either way. Or even if they have a mental problem because of a stroke, mm-hmm, things like that, we don't differentiate. You know, if you need help, you need help, and we're there to help you.
Let us take another call. Nancy in Ashland. Nancy in Ashland, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Artis Fraser and Trish Welsh.
Thank you. My question is, do you have all of the ages together at the respite center, and how do they all interact, the children and the adults?
All right, let's find out, answer the first one first, and then move on from there.
We do not have them all together. We used to have a program for the children in Medford at the YMCA, but we lost funding for that program. So that was something we'd like to revisit, but we actually had a place for the children to go. The program that I run is basically for the seniors.
And that, again, is on Wednesdays in Ashland.
And then the program in Medford on Tuesdays and Thursdays also includes adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities, mm-hmm, that generally the ones that are attending are closer to the senior age as well.
All right, but adults in one program and any,
yes,
other programs for children separate,
yes,
to that. Which raises the question, and if you had this program you're running for young people through the YMCA and lost the funding for it, there are clearly some unserved needs in Jackson County.
Absolutely.
What are the things that you envision that you'd like to be able to take on if your funding situation were to improve at the ARC of Jackson County?
Well, we certainly would add that program back in. It was a perfect fit with the Easter Seals Respite and Recreation program that was held two times a month on Saturdays, and then we would take the opposing weeks. And so that parents had an option every single weekend to take a break. So we certainly would add that in. And I also want to say thank you to our partners like the YMCA and Mountain View, Wynwood. The one reason why we are able to charge the $650 per hour is because they actually donate the space for it.
Really? So no rental charge at all?
None.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty impressive.
Yes.
Right.
What are the things that you would like people to be most aware of then as we go down to the end of this Alzheimer's Awareness Month? I mean, what are the things that people most need to know if they are not dealing with anyone with Alzheimer's or dementia at this point of their lives, but might at some point, or perhaps themselves? Because we're talking about the great growth in the senior population, likely a boom in the dementia population as well. What are the things people really need to know?
I would say that there are resources out there that if you're feeling hopeless, that you don't know where to turn, not only are there places like Lifespan where you can be referred to some additional help, you can also have information of various things that can help you through things as they progress.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think just the exchange with other people. You know, I've had the caregivers who come to my program and bring their parents or their spouse, you know, then they get to know each other and they have a little support system for each other about what they're going through, and they make friends and they don't feel so isolated, mm-hmm, and alone. The woman whose little boy I take care of said, you know, when he was diagnosed with autism, all of her friends backed away from her. They were just afraid of it and they didn't really want to associate with her anymore. So she lost her friends. And you become pretty isolated if you're caring for someone with special needs 24/7. So just to be able to have the social outlets that we make available, and they're welcome to come and join in. And for anybody else who just wants to help. I mean, it's a really great way to come and spend a little time and give something back to the community that's greatly, greatly needed. And
if you wanted to volunteer, what kind of skills would you need to bring there? What do you need to know?
Creativity, a sense of humor, time. If you play the piano, we love that. Or any musical instrument or any kind of artistic thing that you want to help do, because we do different crafts. I wanted to mention that, you know, all of this information that we're giving you is available on our website. Do you have that? It's www.thearcjackson.org.
Thearcjackson.org.
Correct.
Arc with a C. Yeah, I made the mistake of putting county there. Don't put county.
Don't
it's thearcjackson.org.
.org. Correct. Yes. And there, the respite forms are there. You can certainly call me or Trish or Barbara. Can I say my telephone number?
Sure.
Okay. It's 541-821-8564. Again, that's 541-821-8564.
Okay, we'll put that on Facebook along with the other.
And if you're just looking for in-home respite service, you can call Barbara Beers, and that's 541-821-8764.
So very close, 8564 for you and 8764 for Barbara.
Correct.
Okay. Well, is there an upper limit to the program? I mean, do you have as many people as you can fit in the...
No, I need more people.
You do?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Unfortunately, because of the nature of the disease, you know, we get a good group going and it can kind of self-sustain itself with the funding, you know, with the payment from the participants. But people move into memory care. They move into foster homes, and unfortunately, a lot of them pass away. So I went through a whole list of how many people I'd helped a while back with the families, and...
It's a long list.
It's a long list.
All right.
But we
Fraser
need more.
And Trish Welch from the Arc of Jackson County Lifespan Respite, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having us. Appreciate it.